Welcome to Compliance Perspectives. I'm your host, Courtney Nordrum from SCCE and HCCA. I'm here today with Don Cinco. Don is the Chief Integrity Officer for Cleveland Clinics, as you may know, one of the largest health systems in our country. Welcome to the podcast, Don.
Great, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Can you tell us, one, what is a Chief Integrity Officer? And two, how did you come to be the Chief Integrity Officer?
Great. Well, actually, those two stories go hand in hand. So as Chief Integrity Officer, we developed this integrity office at Cleveland Clinic. And what it means is that under my umbrella as Chief Integrity Officer, I have both internal audit and corporate compliance under the umbrella. And it was about 12 years ago that the board of directors and senior management decided to form this integrity office. And if you look at the mission statements of internal audit and corporate compliance, they're very similar. They're not the same, but they're very similar. Both should be independent or objective. Both have responsible for risk assessments, doing auditing and monitoring, both looking to see if there are issues and helping resolve issues. So it was determined to put them kind of both under one umbrella. So they formed this integrity office. At the time, I was the Chief Audit Executive.
Okay.
And so it was the board and management decided to promote me into this Chief Integrity Officer role. They made it a C-suite position, so my office is in the C-suite. So that sends a message to employees that integrity is important. I think most organizations have integrity somewhere in their values. If you listen to any company, they're going to say, oh yeah, integrity is one of our values. But what happens though, if you look at some of those organizations where compliance or even audit sit, sometimes compliance is part of the law department or it reports up to the CFO. And it's kind of buried. So you can say, you know, integrity is and compliance is important, but then your employees look to see, okay, so where does it sit? You know, where are the responsibilities? Yeah, that's exactly. What are the authorities? And when they see that it's buried under things or the people, they have to report up to general counsel or the CFO or somebody like that. They go, okay, if we really want to report something to compliance an issue, is it going to get to where we want it to go, or is the law department going to bury it, or senior management going to bury it? So it was determined to set up this separate office, again, have my position into C-suite. I report directly to the board of directors. They're the ones who do my annual review. They do my compensation. I have a dotted line to the CEO and Dr. Toby Cosgrove, who's just a terrific guy, very ethical. I meet with him regularly and keeping him up to speed as to where we are. But management at the clinic respects the fact that I report to the board and that I am, my relationship is independent of the rest of management. So I think that that's kind of an important distinction of what we have at the clinic. Now, we did that about 12 years ago, and you're seeing more and more health systems go to this model now, where they're pulling compliance out from under the law department or putting both audit and compliance under one umbrella. Now, an important distinction, though, is I did keep them as separate departments. So I know some organizations have put them together, and there's like just one audit and compliance. And I purposely didn't do that because while they're very similar, there are differences. And for instance, internal audit needs to be literally independent of the operations. It's not involved in any operation. Internal audit doesn't develop policies and procedures. It doesn't do any operation itself because it has to audit those. Whereas compliance, while not independent, needs to be objective. But compliance is involved in developing policies. We develop compliance policies, HIPAA policies. There's all kinds of policies that compliance develops. They're also involved in education and training and doing a lot of communication. So they are involved in the operations. So for that reason, I think it's important for them to be separate so we don't mix those lines. But the true value has been with having them under one umbrella, and both departments are located on the same floor of the building on our main campus. They know each other, they can help each other out. So we've had some compliance issues where compliance has gone to audit, say, can you help? We've had some audit issues where we've had compliance say, hey, can you give us some guidance on this? Because this is really compliance would add value. So they're able to work together, even though they're separate.
They're the integrity team.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. So it's kind of neat. So that's how I got involved, being with audit and kind of having that oversight role. And it's been extremely successful so far.
It sounds like a fantastic program. It's what we draw when we diagram the dream of a compliance officer's role, particularly at the chief.
Well, and you know, one of the things is from an outside standpoint, 2 weeks ago, we were named by Ethisphere as one of the world's most ethical companies.
Oh, congratulations.
And it's our seventh time that we've received that recognition. Nice. And one of the things that Ethisphere has commented on is our model, our integrity office model, and how much they like the fact that it is apart from the law department, and that, you know, our compliance department is not just attorneys. Our compliance department are nurses and coders and billers, and we do have some lawyers. It's a combination of people who understand the operation and who the people in operations, when they have issues or problems, feel comfortable calling another nurse, or they feel comfortable calling another coder, whereas they may not feel as comfortable calling the law department and talking to the lawyers. And so I think one of the things that we're proud of is Ethisphere has recognized that our model is kind of the model that they think is most effective. And we, you know, we're proud that we've been recognized seven times for that.
So we were speaking earlier, before we hit the record button, about all of the duties surrounding compliance and integrity at such a large health system. Mm-hmm. And Don was explaining to me about acquiring physician practices and monitoring, auditing for HIPAA, and all of these things that he does every day. And he mentioned building relationships. So I decided we're going to key in on that. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us your thoughts on how building relationships is the core value to a compliance and integrity program?
Sure. And as a matter of fact, one of the things I mentioned to you is that while it's not one of the seven or eight elements of an effective compliance program, it may be the key element is you know, your compliance department or even your audit department really needs to develop a good relationship with the operations, because it's very important for compliance and the compliance staff to understand the operations, to know what's going on, to have relationships with people so that when things go wrong, if something's happening, they already feel comfortable with you to call you because you have that relationship with them. It's the old make your friends before you need them thing. In this case, it's the other way around. You've made the friendship before they need you, and so that they feel comfortable calling you. And it's also important to develop the relationship so that the operations understand that the compliance department and the internal audit department we're not the police, we're not the enemy. They know that we're real people, that we care, that we just want to make sure that we're doing the right thing. And I think when you have that relationship, then they realize you're not out to get people. Mm-hmm. I tell my staff all the time, you know, it's very important in the work that we do that we don't attack people, that we don't blame people. You focus on the issues, you focus on the problems, and what do we need to do to resolve the problems? And when you do that, that also helps develop the relationships, because people see that, okay, look, somebody went to them, they did the right thing, they took care of the issue, but they're not out to be heroes and get people. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I think relationship building should be one of the key elements of an effective compliance program.
Where does it start?
There's two ways. One is, at least the way we do the compliance program, handle the compliance program at Cleveland Clinic, is we obviously have a compliance program for our corporate compliance department. And we have risk assessment and all the things that we need to be doing. But at Cleveland Clinic, we have 27 medical institutes as well as other departments, non-operating departments like finance and legal and the like. But every institute and all departments have their own compliance program. So again, the compliance department isn't responsible for all of compliance within Cleveland Clinic. It's too big of an organization. But we push it down, and so each institute and the departments have their own compliance programs. And where the relationship building starts is we just don't say, go do it, good luck. So what we do is we'll go through and meet with them. So we meet with them generally at the beginning of every year, and we'll go through and help them with the risk assessment, make sure they understand kind of our views on things, what we see, but get their input so that they're buying into what the issues are, because one medical department could have totally different compliance risks than another medical department. We can't assume that all of Cleveland Clinic has the same risk.
That would be a big bucket to put everyone
into. Yeah, exactly. And so we meet with them, we help them with the risk assessment, we help them with their monitoring program. So again, the monitoring is something that's done on a local level. We help them with their monitoring programs as to what risks they're going to monitor for compliance. And so that kind of helps start the relationship process when we're there to help. We're there to help them with their processes, to help them with their plans and their programs, and then obviously be there when they have questions on their program And then obviously if there's issues or problems come up, we've already developed that relationship. So it's not just throwing something out and saying good luck.
Good luck and Godspeed.
Yeah, that's right.
So how many people do you have working in various compliance departments throughout Cleveland Clinic?
What we have is just in our compliance department, we have 18 people in corporate compliance, which is a pretty small staff. And then there's compliance activities at all the locations, but at those locations, like in the institutes and in the regional hospitals, there's no one else fully dedicated to compliance. It's people who compliance is part of their job.
Okay.
So we'll have so each institute will have a corporate compliance committee, that may be made up of, 10 or 12 people, and that could be doctors, nurses, administrators, and the like. But compliance is part of their job because, again, what we're trying to get through to people is compliance is everyone's job. We could say, name Joe or Nancy in this institute, you're the compliance person, and then that institute would say, okay, that compliance is that person's problem. But our approach is to get everybody involved from understanding and knowing it and being able to communicate it back so that it's not Don Cinco's job or it's not this person's job, it's everyone's job. We know that there are some models out there, some hospitals have it where they may have 40 or 50 compliance people and they are embedded all the way around, and that could be a very effective approach. But our approach is to have a smaller, dedicated staff and then really spread it out amongst the operations and have them responsible for it. And then by having our monitoring what they're doing, they have to report annually back to the Corporate Compliance Committee the results of their program, what their plans were, what their results were, what issues did they come across, how did they resolve them. And so that monitoring process by the Corporate Compliance Committee then makes sure that the work is getting done. So that having that reporting responsibility back, and our Corporate Compliance Committee is a pretty senior group of people from all parts of the operation. The operations know they have to do something. They can't get away with not doing anything.
How are risk assessments done? On what level are the assessments done?
Risk assessments, compliance risk assessments are done, like I said, corporate compliance does one. So we have our own risk assessment, and that's a risk assessment that we take to the board of directors, and to senior management. And here's where we see the risks of the organization. But then each of the 27 institutes does their own risk assessment. Finance does its own risk assessment. Everyone does its own risk assessment. Like I said, we participate in that process to make sure everybody understands it. Each of the regional hospitals does a risk assessment for their local concerns. Mm-hmm. And so that way, we literally do quite a few risk assessments, but they roll up then into our corporate compliance risk assessment.
So you look at all of the individual risk assessments and then make your corporate risk assessment
right
from that, saying these are the outstanding risks we have. This is where we're the most vulnerable.
Yeah, and if you look at it from our standpoint, corporate compliance has risks, necessarily that the others don't have, because now we're looking at it a health system risk standpoint. Mm-hmm. So we can look at, for instance, HIPAA. We can look at our HIPAA concerns as an overall organization, whereas one of the medical institutes can look at it more finite to their particular operations. What are the operations that they have within their institute where HIPAA can be a concern? Mm-hmm. Whereas, from an overall health system standpoint, it could be a totally different concern. But we have to take theirs into consideration from that standpoint. And again, by doing all these risks, it really pushes down to the local levels the importance of understanding your compliance risks. And that's what's important. What's important is for the operations to understand their compliance risks. Not that I understand the compliance risks. I mean, I have to, but it's important that so that they can recognize issues, and if something happens, they can report it to us. But more importantly, if they recognize it, that they could help prevent it. And that's the key. Prevention is the key to compliance. One of the analogies that I know my staff hears me say all the time, the corporate compliance department is preventative medicine and the law department is surgery. So our job is to prevent the problem. And if the problem is there and whatever, it's like any other tumor, well, then you get the law department in and their job is to kind of take it there. But we're preventative medicine if we're doing our job.
Well, Don, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule here at the Compliance Institute to speak with me about the great program you have going at Cleveland Clinic.
Great. Well, thanks for asking me. It's been a great institute so far.